So the question may arise, is it a selfish desire to want to become more advanced in Krishna consciousness? Because our basic definition is to serve and please Krishna, your basic definition of pure devotional service is to please Krishna. So is it a selfish desire to want to make advancement? And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, no. The desire to make advancement really means the desire to purify one's service to Krishna, to intensify one's service to Krishna, to be able to please Krishna more by one's service. And, you know, from, as we discussed, our basic problem is that we turned away from Krishna, we breached our relationship with Krishna, and came into the material world, and now we want to restore our relationship with Krishna and return to our original home with Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. So it's a journey. And when we embark upon a journey, we have the goal in mind. We have the destination in mind. Now sometimes we may be very preoccupied with staying on the course and making progress on the way. Say if you're hiking or climbing a mountain, you know your goal is to reach the top. But along the way you have to be very attentive so that you don't go off the course, you don't lose your footing, you don't slip and fall. But still, it's always in the back of your mind what your goal is, what your destination is. And so our goal is to serve Krishna with love. It's only when one has prema bhakti is one able to enter the spiritual abode. Personally, in my case, I don't always think in those terms, but I do always think of returning to Srila Prabhupada. I mean, that's always there in the back of my mind. And as far as Krishna and Goloka Vrindavan, sometimes it's there and sometimes it's not. But in my case, on my position, that's always there. And it should be there. And then as we progress in japa, as our heart becomes more purified, one has a more intense longing. One has more intense feelings of separation. And one becomes very eager, you know, hoping against hope, to have direct service. Once I had quite a remarkable dream in which Srila Prabhupada, it was a longer dream, but at one stage he said to me, you have to become mad for Krishna. And I mentioned that to His Holiness Radhanath Swami, and he commented, "Oh, that you have to be very pure to become mad for Krishna." So there's a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita quoted, I believe, from the Naradiya Purana, on this very point that we should be fixed on our goal. And if we're fixed on our goal and at the same time engage in our spiritual practices, we will very quickly achieve our goal. That verse is quoted by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita. And I hope everyone here has this book or has read this book. It's called Nam Rahasya, The Confidential Secrets of Chanting the Holy Name in Perfection by Sachinandan Swami. It's a wonderful book. Just read it and read it and read it again. It's very compact and condensed. And just read one sentence and think about it, and the next sentence and think about it. But it's worth keeping as a constant companion. So this this is the verse that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, well, he says, from the very beginning of this practice, this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, from the very beginning of this practice, the devotee must adopt this concentrated attention, and he should be careful not to give it up because of distraction or inattention. And then he quotes this verse, Achirad eva sarvartha siddhyatesham abhipshita sadharmasya avabodasya yesham nirbandhani mati. Those who are eager to awaken their spiritual consciousness and who thus have unflinching, undeviating intelligence or concentration, that's that nirbandhani mati, on their goal, certainly attain the desired goal of life very soon. Radhya Purana quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya 20:106. So we should have that goal in mind, and we should have hope. No hope against hope that we will achieve the goal. If we become hopeless, we will lack that enthusiasm, that impetus to make progress. And there's another verse in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. After Rupa Goswami enumerates the 64 items of devotional service, he mentions five that are most potent, including chanting the holy name, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, associating with advanced devotees, residing in Mathura Vrindavan, and worshipping the deity with faith and veneration. And he says that even a slight association with any one of these will awaken ecstatic love of God, Bhagavati. So the question arises that with even a slight association with any one of the five, one will awaken ecstatic love of Godhead, and we're associating with so many of the five, so many hours every day, but we're not awakening ecstatic love of Godhead. Why? The answer is because of offenses. Rupa Goswami says if one has even a slight association with any one of the five and does not commit offenses, then very quickly he will awaken ecstatic love of Godhead. So that is that's the obstacle that's standing between us and ecstatic love of Godhead, between us and Krishna. And therefore, that's our sadhana, offenseless chanting and hearing. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, nirapade, if one consistently chants the holy name without offenses, then very quickly one will get premadan, the treasure of love of Godhead. And as in any effort in devotional service, we make our best effort and at the same time depend on the mercy of Krishna and the higher Vaishnavas. It's like that. It's like that. There's the logic of the cat and the monkey. Srila Prabhupada sometimes gave this example. I believe it comes from Ramanujacharya. That one paradigm is the monkey, the baby monkey grabs, like holds on to the, rides on the back of the mother monkey by like holding her or his arms around the neck of the mother. I saw it actually in the Johannesburg Zoo. I had been sick, so as part of my recovery, I was supposed to walk every day, and so the devotees had the idea to take me to different nice places to walk. So one day they took me to the zoo. There's a very, very interesting exhibit with tigers and leopards and like all these really ferocious cats. And I guess panthers. And then there were panels like, you know, okay, tiger, leopard, panther. And then the title of the last panel was the world's most dangerous creature. And under that heading was a mirror. That's us. We're the most ferocious beasts of all, without Krishna consciousness. So anyway, it was quite a nice zoo and like a lot of land. So they're like really tall trees, and I would see the monkeys like jumping, you know, from one tree to the next, one branch to the next. And the little babies were like holding on for dear life. And I could really appreciate the example because, you know, they're babies. They're not that strong. And the mother's just bounding here and there, way up in the sky, and the little babies holding on for dear life. And I could imagine what a fearful experience it was. So that example of the baby monkey illustrates depending on our own effort, our own strength. And the other example is the cat and the kitten. The kitten just depends on the mother cat. The mother cat picks up the kitten with her teeth, I guess behind the kitten's neck, and just carries the kitten wherever she wants to take the kitten, and the kitten has no anxiety. She's going for a ride with her mother, his mother. So, of course, we do both. We make our own effort, but ultimately we depend on the mercy of the Lord. And that's like the special feature of bhakti. That ultimately we surrender to Krishna, we do what Krishna asks us to do, and beyond that we just depend on Krishna. We have faith that it's not even that he'll do what's best for us, of course he'll do what's best for us. He'll do what he wants to do with us, and that's the mood of surrender. He can, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you can handle me roughly by your embrace or make me broken-hearted by not being present before me. Of course, that being broken-hearted when Krishna's not present, that's the goal. That's really the goal. That separation. And then Krishna will come. That's another example. Krishna played on his flute to call the gopis to meet him, and then he began to reciprocate with him, but then he disappeared. He left them all, except for one, and they were, bereft of his association. They went mad. They're looking all over the Vrindavan forest. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Then eventually they came to the conclusion that we cannot find Krishna unless he wants to be found by us. And they thought, there's no use roaming the forest like this. We should go back to the banks of the Yamuna where first he called us. And together we should chant his holy name and glories. So they did. This is Sankirtan. They returned to the banks of the Yamuna, and they engaged in Sankirtan, crying out from the depths of their hearts the holy name and glorifying the holy name, form, qualities, and pastimes of Krishna, together as a group. And when their feelings of separation reached the height, then Krishna's heart was moved and he returned to them. And when he did, he told them that, actually, I was never very far from you. I was actually near. But I hid myself from you to increase your attachment to me. And he gave the example that if a poor person, works hard and acquires some wealth, and then he loses the wealth, then he'll think of nothing but the wealth day and night, what he lost. So, in the same way, Krishna said, if you thought that I'm very easily achieved, then you might take me for granted. And so I hid myself from you to increase your meditation on me. So we may all have similar experiences with the holy name. Sometimes Krishna, by his mercy, allows us to experience his presence more. And sometimes he will withdraw himself from us. Of course, there's also our side of it. We commit offenses, and because of our offenses, he's away. But still, sometimes we feel his presence more, and sometimes he seems to have left us. But even in his leaving us, or apparently leaving us, he's still very close to us. He's witnessing our struggles, our prayers, our japa. And when he's satisfied that we have taken, you know, that we're really sincere in serving him and pleasing him, and if we have offended him, if, you know, he's satisfied that we've understood the implications of the offenses we've committed, and we're sincerely repentant and don't want, and resolve sincerely not to commit the same mistake again, then he'll reappear. And we should always have that in mind, even if, like, we're struggling, we should know he's there. The holy name is there. We know it's just a matter of time he'll reappear. He just wants to see how sincere we are in our efforts and maybe how repentant we are for our offenses. And then he'll reappear. So it's not, yeah, he's always near us. He's always witnessing our efforts as we understood through yesterday's exercise, hearing Krishna's comments about our japa. And we can have a dialogue. I mean, of course, we want to hear, but it's intermittently we can have a little dialogue with Krishna or prayer to Krishna. This idea of praying while chanting or before chanting, or actually the mood of prayer is embedded within the chanting. The chanting itself is a prayer. As Prabhupada says, "Oh Krishna, oh Radharani, please engage me in your devotional service." The chanting itself is a prayer. Even if we don't articulate, you know, in more detail that we want to engage in your service or what service we want to do for you, or but it's there. All the prayers of the Shikshastaka are included in the 16 words of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Each pair of words corresponds to one of the prayers of the Shikshastaka. So it's there, but we should be in the mood of prayer, mood of supplication. Maybe I'll just conclude with one prayer. It's also from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. These verses are also very beautifully paraphrased in the Nectar of Devotion.
But many of the original verses appear in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and I also like the Sanskrit. So, although they appear maybe originally in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, they're also quoted in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. I won't even read all the Sanskrit, but it begins, Na prema shravanadi bhaktir api vayogo ta na vaishnavo. Oh. Gyanam va shubhakarma va kyadaho sajatir apyastiva. Hinarthadika sadake twai tatapya chedya mula sati. He gopi janavalava vyatyate haha mad. O my Lord, I do not have any love for you, nor am I qualified for discharging devotional service by chanting and hearing. Nor do I possess the mystic power of a Vaishnav, knowledge, or pious activities. Nor do I belong to a very high caste family. On the whole, I do not possess anything. Still, O beloved of the gopis, because you bestow your mercy on the most fallen, I have an unbreakable hope that is constantly in my heart. That hope is always giving me pain. Now that should be there, that hope. And the reason it gives pain is because we want that thing. I mean, I don't know exactly why I'm thinking of this, but in those days, the 60s, you know, I would see a Beatle concert. I mean, I didn't go, but I would like see on television, and there'd be like all these girls in the audience crying. I was thinking, why are they crying? I guess they were crying because they wanted the Beatles. And it was like painful. They wanted the Beatles and they couldn't have them. It was painful. So I think that's the idea here, that we want Krishna. And we're unqualified. We possess nothing. But because Krishna is merciful to the most fallen, we have hope. Not because we're qualified, but because of his merciful nature, we have hope. And that hope gives us pain. Because we want that thing and we're not getting it. So that's, of course, this is a more advanced stage. This is one of the, qualities of Bhava Bhakti. This is definitely an advanced stage. But still, even in whatever stage we are, we have that. We want to chant with attention. We want some taste. You know, and we have hope that we can get that. Because Krishna is merciful to the most fallen. Hare Krishna. Oh, I get it. Because we disconnected it?
No, it's actually 10 after.
Oh.
It's 10 after.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I got it. I guess.
Yeah, that covers business.
You know, it probably needs a new battery.
No, we just put a new battery. It's the paper.
I'll try to think.
It's
quite after where
you're. Yeah, it depends on your watch. It's relative. Mine says 9 minutes after.
Yeah.
Mine says 9 minutes.
Okay.
So, yeah.
9:10, I think so. Mm-hmm.
That's what
the schedule said. I mean, that, it can be a change.
9:10.
Well, given that that clock said 8:50, and I thought we had time for questions, and given Krishna's merciful nature.
In the form of Purusha Sukta, who extends the breaks on 10:45.
Oh, we can extend the breaks maybe before.
Oh, yes. Also, then at 10:30, we're going to be in room 9?
No, the tour is at 1:30. So,
oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. All right, well, let's.
We can take 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, because I thought we had 10 minutes. So, if anyone would like, we have a few minutes for questions or comments.
Okay.
Yes, Tim?
Can you tell me again the last verse you read, where that came from?
Yeah, the original source is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1335, but it's quoted in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 20, chapter 23, text 29.
When you were speaking about this, how this hope can give pain, while you were speaking, I was thinking about that, and I guess if there's strong hope, right? Let's say there's strong faith, a strong hope. That kind of makes the goal so tangible because you have strong hope. So that means it must be like very tangible.
Yeah.
It must be like dangling in front of you, but
yeah.
At the same time, you don't have it.
Yeah.
So that kind of the pain, you see it so close right in front of you, and then but still there's separation, you're not there yet.
Yeah.
So that's.
Yeah, that's a very important point. And like I mentioned, this comes in the stage of Bhava Bhakti, this type of prayer. We're going to have similar prayers and similar hopes according to our stage. But there's one verse in the Bhagavad Gita, I think in the third chapter, that emphasizes like hearing the instructions from Krishna and trying to follow the instructions of Krishna. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that even if one is not able to follow properly, but if one is not envious of the principle and perseveres without consideration of hopelessness or despair, he will ultimately reach the goal. So
that's a great purport.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's I believe it indirectly refers to that those two we read from the 11th canto about knowing that all sense gratification leads to misery, but still not being able to give it up, one should continue in a happy mood.
When we open our heart, and all of a sudden, a verse pops in, and it's like, that's the whole premise of your death, the puja offering. And this was that type of premise.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, because we're praying for service, and the holy name may hear our prayer for service and give us some service.
Yeah.
Give us, give us some inspiration in our service. So we can't reject that because that's also the holy name's mercy. We do have breaks in the schedule during which we can act on the inspirations we get from the mercy of the Holy Name.
10:30.
Accept whatever is favorable and reject whatever is unfavorable. Hare Krishna.